grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about henna, 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 Aiko, Aiko, one day. Giacomo.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween Spooktacular here in October. Great stuff all month long. This is 1480 KPHX, and of course, Greg Isaac, Dave Isaac, Joseph Erdo, and our great producer, Eric Reinert. And Joseph, I don't know if I recognize this song. Tell me a little bit.
Oh, you have
it.
To recognize this. This is Aiko Aiko. It's right there in the Aiko Aiko on it. Come on. No. Giacomo Fino Anane. Okay, anyway. Dixie Cups from the Skeleton Key.
Oh, okay.
Of course, starring Kate Hudson.
I know this song. I just been playing a lot. She's going out with one of the Jones. Now,
nice.
The young Jonas.
You know the Dixie Cups. In fact, I don't think George Bush liked them. I don't think George Bush liked the Dixie Cups.
Dixie Chick.
That's okay.
Yeah. The Dixie Chicks.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's different. Red Solo Cup, I'll drink you up. Anyway.
Don't know that one. Should we review The Walk?
Yeah, you know what? Let's get into a couple of movies, at least The Walk right now. This opened on Wednesday exclusively on IMAX screens, but of course it also opens wide on next Friday.
That's right.
Sorry, I just was blanking there for a while.
Yeah, you were, actually.
I don't know.
You were blanking and blinking.
I was thinking of dentists, open wide.
Yeah. We don't like that, do we?
I like dentists. What?
Open wide?
Johnny Mac from Big Brother. Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays a young dreamer who aspires to achieve the impossible. An illegal wire walk in the immense void between the World Trade Center towers with little more than nerve and blind ambition. He overcomes daunting physical obstacles, betrayals, countless close calls, and overwhelming odds to beat the system and execute his mad plan. Of course, he's got several accomplices in this. This is inspired, or basically a true story that was back in the 70s, I believe it was, and the there was also a book about this.
Wasn't it Walendo?
No, it's Philippe Petit.
Philippe Petit, yes, Frenchman. And, of course, there was also a documentary, Man on Wire, that you might have seen a few years ago. And I'll go ahead and say that I saw this on Arizona Mills IMAX, so the true IMAX. This is one of the most visually stirring movies you will ever witness. The inspired imagery flourishes right from the start as writer-director Robert Zemeckis uses colors, angles, and other optical fireworks to introduce audiences to the unique way that Philippe Petit sees the world. But of course, that is just the beginning as Zemeckis eventually takes viewers to hair-raising heights. And while the wire walking is the cinematic centerpiece, the taut suspense in the scenes during which Petit and his accomplices set the stage is the most engrossing element of all. Moreover, star Joseph Gordon-Levitt gives what may not only be this year's best performance, but also the greatest acting achievement of his career. Huge thumbs up for this one, Dave.
Yeah, I Tricia, you want to go next? And we'll see who has thumbs up and who doesn't.
Okay. Well, yes, I agree with you, Joseph. Huge thumbs up. The cinematography was incredible. I absolutely love the World Trade Center towers. I used to go there quite often with my kids. We ate at the top of the world. And I am amazed at how well they've done. I felt like I was there at the very top of the tower, outside the restrictive fences of the observation area. It was incredible. And when they look down or up or around, you are part of it. It was, 3D and IMAX. And, the person I went to the show with, he says, oh my gosh, I was clenching the seat and my palms were sweaty. I gasped a couple of times out loud, which is very rare for me. It just was an engrossing feel, like you were there. And just, certain little twists that happened that were surprising. But just the cinematography, the feel, you become a part of this group. You really do. And you want them to pull off this coup.
Wow.
So what do you give it?
A huge, huge, huge thumbs up.
Is it a breakthrough?
No.
Okay.
I still have yet to give a breakthrough.
Oh, you're tough. Well, I do want to say that before Dave gives his review, because you said that you gasped, did you also duck?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did, yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did as well.
That was incredible, right?
Yeah. Not when I thought I was going to duck. I ducked earlier on when he was actually in the circus tent. Of course, something happens. But yeah.
Well, I will agree with both of you. Big thumbs up. I wouldn't call it a breakthrough. What stood out for me was Ben Kingsley.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. He did great.
His character was fantastic. And the acting was superb in this movie. And it really started off, it was really like almost two movies in a way, but it was seamless. Very upbeat, you know. It reminded me of Johnny Depp's performance in Benny and June a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. how it started real upbeat.
I love the beginning of this movie.
It was great.
All the French music as well.
Tremendous
music that we know, but it was in French versions of them.
It was so upbeat and amazing and fun. You know, I'd say it's a fun movie. So lighthearted. It had passion in it, of course, and started the obsession of Philippe, right?
Yeah.
Of wanting to do this walk, and nothing would stop him. His gang, that he called accomplices, which was sort of cool. But it was visually stunning. There's no question. And to me, even though it was very, at certain points, stressful or suspenseful because it was life or death that we're talking about, it was also a ballet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy up in the air, he was in the zone, as athletes would call it. And it was just amazing how it was almost like a dance to him. And he was just in the zone. And it was so nice that, he took the time to learn his craft.
Oh, yeah.
Because he certainly needed it when he needed it.
Yeah.
Right. I won't say what scene that was, but it was majestic. It was about focus. It was about, as he said, intense joy and profound satisfaction. How many people have that?
Oh, yeah.
This is a great movie, clearly, to see.
You mentioned obsession. You know what I'm obsessed with? The lead actress.
Annie.
She was in that the cooking movie last year with Helen Mirren.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, I forget the name of it. The 1,000-foot journey or whatever. 1,000-foot journey. Yeah, she's gorgeous, isn't she?
That's right.
Was it the 100-foot journey?
100-foot journey.
Yeah.
100-foot. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. The cast was great.
Yeah, really good cast. I mean, and again, the beginning of this movie is as good as the end. The colors, the visuals. Directed Incredible. By the guy that brought us The Polar Express, and it's rated PG. So this is a nice family film.
No question about it, and I would highly recommend in 3D.
I would. But you know what? One thing, when I walked out, I was a little bit disappointed because I'm comparing this movie to Everest. I believe that Everest, personally, I liked it better as a movie, and I thought that the visuals, I felt like I was there a little bit more.
I
don't mean that as a put down, but I'm just saying because they both have this platform release at IMAX,
right.
and I mentioned this to other people, and they were they took it wrong, like, oh, this is a you're tearing apart the movie. I'm saying that The Walk is a really good movie.
Great movie.
But if I had to choose between Everest and The Walk, personally, I felt that the Everest transported me to Mount Everest a little better.
I would agree. I love Everest.
I believe I didn't get a chance to see it, but Dave and Greg went out, I believe last night,
mm-hmm.
and checked out The Martian.
Yes.
Is that about marshmallows or?
No, my favorite Martian was playing Christopher Lloyd. Great film.
Oh, that's a wonderful film.
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that. It's back on the big screen. Is it the 10th anniversary?
They changed it a lot.
Oh,
Matt
really?
Damon is in it now.
Matt Damon's in it? Oh, it's a reboot.
But Jeff Daniels is still there.
Does he see Nanu Nanu?
Yeah, he does. It's great stuff.
He was from Ork, not Martian.
I think that I'm Mindy completely confused. Mars. Dave, Greg, tell me, what is The Martian?
Well, here's the story of it, and it's fantastic in the sense, Ridley Scott, one of the great directors puts this together, and it's different than a lot of the other films that you see in space. I mean, we've seen movies where people are left behind, things go on, but this is that type of situation where you have a team that's there on Mars, and of course, with Matt Damon starring, Jessica Chastain, Kristen Wiig in more of a serious role. And
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah,
I got a little bit, okay.
You got a little
distracted by
there.
That. Her and Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Redheads.
Yeah, but Michael Pena And then, of course, Sean Bean, who's usually in a villain role, but not in this case. He's very good. Jeff Daniels, who is also in My Favorite Martian. Kate Mara. Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier, was there. And it's funny because there was a little Iron Man reference in this. Oh. And, you know, then kind of the camera goes to Sebastian Stan a little bit. But
He's in the hockey show.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Mr. Norrin.
Oh,
yeah, Sebastian's everywhere now. But let me just say this. It was a movie that, like I said, it's different than other astronaut-type movies, whether the ones based on true stories or not. Obviously, this is not a true story. But it's interesting how everything ties in, because this is based on Mars, and recently NASA has announced they found water on there. So it's kind of cool how it all ties together.
Timing.
It's just ironic timing there with that. But Matt Damon is fantastic in this. The way he pulls this role off, you know, with himself, obviously the seriousness of the film, but they add some nice humor to it at the right times. It's like real life. They made it that part as realistic as possible. And so I would say this, not only is it it's a big thumbs up. It's probably the best movie in terms of new movies I've seen so far this year.
You didn't see The Green Inferno, though.
No, I didn't. But it was that good, you know, and it's over 2 hours, but it really doesn't seem like it. It goes by quick. But it just all around, some good comic relief added in there. Donald Glover, who, of course, is a funny guy, who was in there as kind of the younger, smart guy there with NASA. And so that added really a lot to it. But, yeah, definitely you got to check it out. It's just a great story, and it's just a bit different than some of these other astronaut space movies we see. There's some cliche stuff, but some that wasn't, and that's kind of what I liked of it. Stuff you expected to kind of happen didn't happen, and I kind of like that.
Excellent.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I think this is the greatest problem-solving, thinking outside the box, ingenuity, motivation movie ever. This was fantastic. I mean, this was a solid gold movie. Much better than Gravity. I wasn't a big fan of Gravity.
Okay.
I know you loved it.
I like Gravity a lot.
This blows Gravity away, in my opinion. This remind me a little bit of Apollo 13 with its problem-solving part of that. Of course, that was a true story. But I agree. Matt Damon was phenomenal. The whole cast was great. The music was awesome, too, and I really enjoyed that part. It was, I'm tinkering whether it should be a breakthrough, because I think it's going to be a classic. I mean, this is, I agree. I thought it was going to go a different direction, quite honestly, and this was a really rewarding way they eventually had it go, and I really enjoyed it tremendously, and visually stunning too. I thought the visual effects were excellent. The whole all the scenes were incredible. Just amazing movie. So huge thumbs up.
Yeah,
maybe a breakthrough. I'm still thinking about it.
You almost feel like you're on Mars with him. I mean, the way they made it and just showed, you know, Matt Damon's character obviously was extremely smart and took his training very seriously, and he had to, and his life was saved from it. But yeah, it's just, you know, not necessarily saying like surprises and shocks in the movie, but just unexpected, like, oh, okay, I was thinking that would happen and it didn't. A little like one of my favorite movies of all time, The Dark Knight, how there's so many things that kind of come into play. It sort of keeps you thinking, and little things kind of come in that you go, oh, okay. But definitely very good job that Ridley Scott and everyone did on this film.
And this is not a spoiler, but, you know, at one point he goes, I wonder if I can, you know, grow something on a planet that doesn't grow anything. He goes, oh, I'm a botanist. You know, so it was just sort of funny. It was sort of interesting.
Yeah.
The confidence level, you got to admire that. I mean, confidence, this exuded, right, with confidence.
And he didn't like disco music.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So it might be a good thing. I know, Joseph, you've been very busy that didn't get a chance to get out there yet to see this, because we would have had probably a lot of disco music today.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so good thing.
Well, I'll see it eventually. I will see The Martian eventually. You know, I didn't get a chance to see it yet, but I will say I'm not that much of a fan of Ridley Scott's movies. I did not like Prometheus at all. I've heard things on both sides of the issue so far. I worry that might be a little too scientific for me. I know some people like the science. Mm-hmm. You know, personally, if a movie is too scientific, it just loses me completely.
It doesn't seem like that, because I'm with you. I'm not a big science fiction, at least in terms of movie fan. I do like science. I think it's interesting, but Even though there's a lot of things they do, calculations, things like that, it just wasn't overbearing with it. I think knowing your style on movies, I still think it's weird you like the Kirk Cameron film, but I think you do pretty well with that. Wait, who's that?
Did someone? I think Doris Markovic is here. Dave, did Doris Markovic is outside the door?
Is that what she looks like?
Okay, I can't.
She is a babarama.
Can you guys go talk to her? I mean,
we'll talk to her. We'd be glad. I didn't know she looked like that.
She's here. She needs to talk to you guys.
Okay.
All right. Well, while they go investigate whatever she wants, I can only imagine what she's here for. Hopefully, maybe she's investigating Halloween costume options. I can't wait to find out what she's going to be wearing for Halloween. But we have a couple other movies to get to that opened yesterday, including Addicted to Fresno. In this one, Judy Greer plays a woman who is fresh out of sex rehab when her younger, overly optimistic lesbian sister, played by Natasha Lyonne, lands her a job as a maid at a local hotel. When the sex addict jeopardizes her fresh start by accidentally killing a hotel guest after a post-rehab relapse. Her sister goes to great lengths to help her cover up the crime. Now, Eric, Judy Greer, Natasha Lyonne, you don't like them?
Well, I'd say Natasha Lyonne is a perfect, it's perfect casting for...
As a lesbian?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was going to say it. I'll let you say it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, Judy Greer, you know, she's getting a little bit older, but wow, she's still attractive.
I never used to think she was cute, but she's cute.
Yeah.
She grows on you.
Yeah, I liked her back in Jawbreaker many years ago.
That was with dark-haired chick. What's her name?
Yeah, Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan. Yeah, that's when they killed her friend.
Yes.
And they stuffed her in the trunk.
Yep. They I think she they choked her with a. That, well, they it was some sort of like surprise party, and they put a Jawbreaker in her mouth. And yeah, never stuff a Jawbreaker in anybody else's mouth. If you want to do that, do it to yourself. But, yeah, so interesting, you know, casting here, like you said. Addicted to Fresno would have likely been a good film if it had more focus. This, of course, is a comedy, but it stumbles right out of the gate by not giving viewers sufficient backstory into its characters' lives. It causes a little bit of confusion, but that quickly fades away once said characters begin attempting to hide the body of the man that they just accidentally killed. You know, I like the, they kind of like stuff him in this maid's barrel, I don't know what you call it, cart type of thing, bucket, and bin, and they're trying to hide his body, and they're running this body through town, kind of like Weekend at Bernie's type of situation.
Now, that was funny.
Yeah, that was really funny, and for a while, this seemed like that might be the case, but then the movie, the movie is momentarily amusing then, but then it veers into different directions that have less to do with the dead guy than the two unlikable characters' erratic escapades. I mean, Judy Greer, I like her so much, but she... Her character is very unlikable in the movie. She just keeps messing up. She keeps, you know, having sex with anyone who's around, which...
Deli meat.
Exactly.
She's in that deli meat commercial.
She is?
Yeah, there's some brand of deli meat. She does. Oh. She's the spokesperson for it.
I thought you were referring to like any having sex with anyone who's around is deli meat. I was like, yeah, sure, why not? That's a good...
No, she does a commercial for some deli meat. I forget which one.
Okay. Oscar Mayer?
No, there's a commercial where she's at a nudist party.
Oh.
And it's funny because like all the objects in the room are strategically placed to cover up people's junk.
Oh, okay. You can. I think you have an idea of what I'll be looking up on YouTube later. But you know, even Natasha Lyonne's character, she's very unlikable. Someone else is flirting with her in the film, and then she's just not having any of it. She wants someone else. I mean,
she always seems like a downer in every role she plays.
She does, and you know, I think that she's talented, but lately, I don't know. I don't even know. It's not even clear how old she is lately. So the final nail in this flick's coffin is the anticlimactic, emotionless ending. By the time this was over, I was just like, I don't even care anymore. And it kind of ended like that as well. It just, you know, no climax at all to it. Thumbs down to Addicted to Fresno, I'm sad to say.
Was that a pun, climax?
It wasn't intentional, but when I heard it, I was like, yeah, this really works. Sometimes it works out like that. And now, another movie that opened, by the way, I think that Addicted to Fresno is playing exclusively at the Film Bar. Now, Mississippi Grind is playing, I'm not sure where, it's one of the Harkinses, it might be Harkins Shea. Ben Mendelsohn plays a talented poker player who meets a charismatic young traveler played by Ryan Reynolds and convinces him that they should hit the road together as they gamble their way down south toward a legendary high-stakes poker game in New Orleans. The trip's highs and lows unveil the duo's true character and motivation. Now, this is an interesting release strategy. A few movies have been like this year. This has been on DirecTV, I think, for the past month. Do you have DirecTV?
No, I don't. I don't pay for cable. That's like wasting money.
I know, me either. But you know, it's something to note in case you are interested in seeing this film and you want to catch it on DirecTV. I think it's still on DirecTV. Maybe not. Maybe now you have to go to the theater.
My DirecTV bill was like $200+ a month. They promised me it was going to be like $40 a month, and then like 6 months later, it went up, and then another 6 months later, and it kept going up and up till it was over $200. And I just said, screw it.
Is that CenturyLink? Is that
DirecTV?
Is
different than
CenturyLink. Different? Oh, okay.
They both do the same thing. They promise you one thing and then they
right
then
right because I was going to say, you know, CenturyLink, I've been, you know, my internet keeps fluctuating. They're dropping it down and I don't know. And then I contacted customer service repair and they were going to charge me $59.99 for a repair
to fix their crappy service.
Exactly. I said this is a repair. I said this is not like, and they said no, you were ordering service, and you know, so anyway,
just go with Hulu or Netflix or both. Even if you have both of those, it's like $17 a month instead of $200.
But if I don't have internet, I can't get Hulu.
No, you can't.
I know. So I'm just...
Well, you can on your phone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So Mississippi... you forget, I have an old phone. Mississippi Grind, anyway. Mississippi Grind, it's less about the characters than the atmosphere that surrounds them. That's a shame considering said characters are played by a pair of truly talented actors. Ben Mendelsohn, good guy, right? Talented guy?
Yeah, I know who that is. He was in that new series... The River, is it? What is it?
I think so. Yeah.
The one with Sissy Spacek?
Yeah, yeah. I forget that.
He was also in Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt.
Yes, yes. Which I think that was a terrible movie. Did you like that?
I liked it. I just watched it again the other day.
Okay. I think that's one of the rare movies. Yeah, I think I fell asleep.
It had some slow parts.
Yeah. But I know he's a really talented actor, and I can't say enough about Ryan Reynolds. I mean, starting his career with Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, and now he's playing Deadpool and all these really interesting characters.
Van Wilder, don't forget that.
Yeah, of course, Van Wilder. Who can forget that? So, you know, two really talented actors. The stars do their best to bring life to the otherwise stereotypical roles that seem to have been tailor-made for them. I mean, these characters are these guys, these actors. It's really, you know,
does Ben have his accent, or does he have an American accent?
He's got an American accent, but it's very deliberate. I mean, you watch the trailer, and at one point he says, "Let double or nothing. Let's go all in." And, you know, very deliberate. The movie resigns itself to soaking up the sights and sounds of settings. There's not enough material for these actors to chew on. It's a methodical pace. Its methodical pace is yet another problem, making it exceptionally easy for viewers to lose interest and fall fast asleep. You would be better off betting your $10 in a game of craps than spending it on a ticket to see this. You'd probably still have a lot more fun, even, you know, just one, you know, one $10 roll. You know, that'd be a lot more fun than this. So Mississippi Grind, thumbs down. So Addicted to Fresno and Mississippi Grind, thumbs down for both of those. But again, I gave a thumbs up to The Walk, and so did Dave and Trisha. And just a few moments ago, you heard Dave and Greg gave thumbs ups to The Martian.
Is there a Martian in the movie?
I don't know. I'll have to see it and find out. We have a Martian in the lobby right now, Doris Markovic, talking. She can't hear us, can she?
Well, my door's open, so she might be able to.
It's just lovely lady.
Up the volume so she definitely hears you.
Fantastic. Fantastic lady. I love that, Doris Markovic. We should give her like a bunch of free advertising. Let's go ahead and announce the song that's going to take us into our break. Of course, I am all turned around again, all of my stuff here. Okay, of course, from Donnie Darko, Mad World, Gary Jules, Jake Gyllenhaal, where he got his start, kind of, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Mad World.
I like the original
Donnie Darko. Well, yeah, there's
Tears for Fears.
That's true. Yes. But this is Gary Jules' version of Mad World. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween Spooktacular. We're going to be right back with a really special guest, actress Leanne Lapp from iZombie. I'm scared. Are you?
No.
All right. Enlarge your